This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN? Oh, what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found — I am not a therapist — I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it, and sometimes it makes you realize, like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
Hey, and welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast. Today is November 26th, and we are all full from Thanksgiving. My name is Ron, and I'm here, as always, with my iFanboy compatriots, Connor.
Hello.
And Josh.
Hola.
And Josh had this week's pick, and so let's hear what he chose.
I went out on a huge limb. I mean, sometimes you're standing at the craps table, and you're like, I'm going to bet it all. I went with Bendis. It was crazy.
Shocking, really.
Well, I had three books. I had Ex Machina, which I said Ex Machina, actually. After that one post on the website, I looked up how you're actually supposed to pronounce it, and funny thing, I was pronouncing it wrong, too.
What is the correct pronunciation?
Ex Machina.
So it's not Machina?
No.
No, that's what I said.
Machina.
Okay. All right.
So that's for all you pronunciation hounds out there. Pretty good. It was sort of it wasn't a standalone episode.
Sort of middling.
Yeah. I mean, it was good, but it wasn't great. It was good compared to other things. It wasn't great.
Right.
Yeah, there you go. One of the things about the Daredevil one that I thought was really neat was that it was like a fighting regular comic book. Like, people were fighting. There was a big fight in the streets, and it was Elektra and Bullseye, and all of those things sound like they would be incredibly cliched and boring, like I'd read them a million times, but they weren't. It was, you know, very, very well done. It was interesting, and I was like, ooh, what's going to happen? Is Bullseye crazy? You know, which, you know, to do for the 9 millionth time is sort of a feat, you know, in that sense. So I went with that. Let's see. That's about why I liked it.
Just for the fight scene?
Well, no, it's just that it was a regular comic book. Like, right. It was, like, I don't ever read books like that and like them anymore. I don't ever read a book where, like, superhero is in trouble and he fights and...
Well,
good.
I think it's interesting that you say that because like it, you're right. It is like a regular fighting superhero comic book, but like compared to like I bought The Amazing Spider-Man this week against my better judgment, part 6 of the other crossover, and it was almost the exact same issue as Daredevil. You know, superhero in trouble and fighting, and Daredevil was like leaps and bounds better than Spider-Man.
Right, like, and that's the part I can't quite figure out. Why is it better? I don't know. Maybe it's because. I think one of the things, and I believe I wrote this, was that, you know, Murdoch's been in trouble now for I don't know how many years, like on the edge of this precipice of his life, of whatever, and for some reason I'm still, like, concerned. I'm like, well, what's going to happen? I don't know why. He's been on the edge of disaster and ruin since the 80s. But, you know, the like I said, the question keeps coming, like, how is he going to get past this one? And, like, now it really feels like at the end of this whole thing, He's going to have to go move to Brazil and live there and never come back to New York. And I know that's not going to happen.
I think you're right when you said in the review that the next writer is just screwed. I mean, they just end the book almost because there's no way the next writer's going to even come close. They're going to be awful. And
it's going to be
by
like
no fault
to
of their own. It's just going to be, you know.
That's the typical kind of drop off. I mean, you know, like look at the Flash going. Like Flash came out last week, and Jeff Johns ended his great run, and now Joey Cavallari's on it, and it's awful. It's just awful. And so I don't see how any writer can go on to Daredevil after how many years has Bendis been on it and like sustain the kind of, you know, passion and energy that Bendis put into it. You know,
I have no. I mean, it's like trying to put together glass after it's been shattered. Like I don't know what you would do with that. Other than the only thing I can think of is that you would just almost ignore what had been done before you.
Reboot it, in a way.
Yeah, but without doing a number one and all that.
Right,
shit,
right,
because that's lame.
I think one of the reasons the fight scene works is because there's rarely a fight scene in this book.
Yeah,
it's normally intrigue and talking and backstabbing and. You know, Daredevil hardly in the costume, and then when a fight scene happens, it's almost jarring because you're not used to it, and that's what like Spider-Man, you know, it's every issue, so it's kind of like okay, he's fighting again, but this one it's like oh, fight, you know, you're not used to it.
Also, for some reason, I'm a big fan of Daredevil, even though they made him look like the movie Daredevil, which is you know, you can talk about that whatever you want. It's actually probably more realistic that way.
You mean Bullseye?
Grounded. Yeah, I'm sorry, Bullseye. Yeah, but Bullseye's scary.
Yeah, he is.
Whatever it is, the way... I mean, and you can't use him all the time because that would make him not scary.
He's like the Joker.
Exactly. Very much like that because he's really dangerous and he doesn't give a shit. You know, doesn't care.
Yeah.
You know, like...
I mean, he's also seriously hurt Daredevil in terms of killing people in the past, so...
Yeah, but that
you never know if he's going to do it again.
Back.
Well, Karen Page doesn't come... You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Has he
never
shown
know
up
what's
since...
Happen.
Has he shown up since then?
Yes.
Since the Kevin Smith
thing. Yeah, well, they did the Kevin Smith thing, and then he showed up in Bendis' book a couple of years ago, and that was the whole argument between Bendis and Smith and Quesada, is that whether or not Bendis could use Bullseye because Smith like had the stranglehold on him, and finally Quesada had to tell Kevin Smith that, listen, unless you're going to do the book, I got
to
let Bendis
do it.
Yeah,
there was
so
that Daredevil book that was related to the movie. Like, one issue came out. One issue out of four, and the rest never came out. It was Daredevil Target. I think.
Yeah, that's what it was. And, it was going to explain how he got the oven burn on his forehead.
But he never finished this, so he said finally they had to give it up and let
Bendis
do it.
What happened was the pie was ready, and he had taken the boiling water off of the pot, but he misjudged, which is odd for him. It's ironic, really, where the oven was and just burned a little mark of circles into his head. Good news is pie came out perfectly.
That's the most important thing.
I think
exactly.
So.
Right on. I was right on target.
He just like the one bit of this where you know like there's the shattered glass everywhere, and he picks up like a bunch of pieces and just flings them, and you're like, oh, a lot of dead people on the other side of that throat.
Yeah.
And like you look over, you know, and they actually didn't. He didn't do it in the next panel. Like, well, you flip the page and something else had happened, and all of a sudden then he turns around and you just hear, you see that gurgle, especially with glass in their throat.
Yeah. Well, that was that actually, it's funny because I reread those two pages like twice, like two or three times, because if you, the fight, that was the only problem with the fight scene, was that they're fighting and he throws the glass and then the next panel he's flying out the window, and then Daredevil's all stuck with the glass and everybody's okay, and I missed when he jumped out the window. Like I felt like a page was missing.
A panel
was missing. I mean, yeah. I know it's juxtaposition, and I can make the intellectual jump that, okay, he threw the glass and jumped out the window, and you know, but it was still, you know.
Scott McCloud would be proud of you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. From the School of Comics. But that, when that one panel of Daredevil with all the glass stuck in him was kind of rough.
So. But that was very good. And I'm now caught up to you guys. I've read all the books from the last 3 weeks, so.
Oh, congratulations.
I didn't read
all
House
six.
Of M. No, I had a big ol'. I could count them, but I'm not going to. You know what I read, which was actually pretty good? There was another Western that Azzarello did called Loveless.
Mm-hmm.
Did either of you see that?
No.
Nah, it was pretty good, too. It was a Western of a guy who was way after the Civil War and comes back and shoots a bunch of people.
Who put that out?
That's Vertigo. Hmm. But it's by Marcelo Frusin.
I might go look for that.
Hellblazer.
Does Azzarello write for anybody else than DC or Vertigo?
I think he's probably got a pretty good deal.
Yeah, probably.
I'm guessing. He did some Marvel for a little while.
Did Remember? He?
He did the Hulk.
I don't read him. So.
No, but okay. It was like a... I think he did the Hulk for a little while. He did some other stuff, but...
Yeah.
Another great thing about Daredevil was the very end, the Kingpin putting Ben Urich in that position.
Yeah,
which
is
well done.
Which is really good. Ben Urich's basically got to choose between his family and betraying his friend Daredevil.
Right.
And he's got to do one or the other.
That's
and
one
that
thing
really,
I think
that was really great.
Bendis has also done really consistently and well, has been to write the Kingpin.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean Kingpin's... that was talk about a plot, like a plan to screw both Daredevil and Urich at the same, you know, in the same, you know, kind of stroke, and he pulled it off. It was amazing. So,
good stuff.
Yeah, very, very good.
Plus, I still love the art. It's really good.
Maliv is fantastic, and I'm gonna be so sad when he leaves this book. I mean, like, I probably will look to see what he does next, just to follow because I like the art so much.
Where did he come from?
He did Sam and Twitch.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
yeah.
And that was good.
Yeah,
how good that was.
Yeah,
yeah, that was good.
Todd just canceled it.
And that, but it's on the same bent as, like, I love the GayDoss's art on Alias.
Right, it's that similar vein.
Yeah, it's a similar vein, but I haven't been able to find anything GayDoss has done since Alias, and I'm sure he's done something.
You may like some of the work that we've seen in Gotham Central.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Just to continue a theme. Yeah, it's in the same. it's definitely in the same vein.
One of the great things about the Daredevil art is it really, really does feel like New York, as opposed to some of the other books that are set in New York that just seem wrong. It just doesn't feel
it's
like
Total Hell's Kitchen.
And this just really totally... feels like that neighborhood. It looks like it. The build. I mean, it's obviously photo referenced and all that, but it's so good in terms of feeling New York, which is Daredevil needs to feel like it's in New York.
Yeah,
he gains a lot from that, I think.
I just find it amusing because that neighborhood is still portrayed in these books as being really rough and scary, but it's just not anymore. I mean, there's some dark streets that I would go down at night, but for the most part, it's pretty much Yuppieville. So.
Well, yeah, but I mean, some of the areas of Hell's Kitchen are still a little, you know, or they're not as bad as some of the other areas in the city. I mean,
it's just funny that they keep referring to it as the scary part of the Marvel Universe, but it's just not. I couldn't afford to live there. It's not like the Westies are still running it or anything anymore. Ron, what did you like this week?
I too, you know, enjoyed Daredevil. I mentioned earlier, you know, that I bought Amazing Spider-Man. I just want to touch upon the fact that Spider-Man has no eye now. In the big fight in Amazing Spider-Man and part of this crossover with Moreland, the villain ripped his eye out. And so, which led me, and Connor, I told you this earlier, led me to ask the question as soon as I read that, how are they going to fix that?
Because they have to fix that.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's not like, you know, like it's probably going to be some awful, weird spider thing, and he'll be reborn or whatever, you know. And
they've
like,
really
you
know, ruined
he'll
Spider-Man
get a compound
again.
Spider eye.
Yeah.
Then it'll be the Spider-Man eye saga. You can't go outside, and you'll have to wear, like, an Elephant Man hood.
Part 1 of 12.
I mean, This other crossover has just been really bad, and I think it all goes back to Straczynski's run on Spider-Man, which I think Straczynski single-handedly is.
No, he was really good for the first year. Again, like Bruce Jones was in the Hulk, but they had the brief Spider-Man Renaissance, I think, that year, and then he brought the whole Spider totem thing into it, and how he was the
Ezekiel
mythical Spider.
Kind of,
descended, and it was just awful. And that's when I started dropping all the Spider-Man books again.
Bad news.
Is anybody notable doing that book?
Well, right now, Reginald Hudlin's on it.
Reggie Hudlin. He haunts Reggie my Hudlin nightmares.
And Diodato is doing the art, which is good. I mean, but it was like, I found myself reading it just kind of like, I mean, like, where Daredevil I read like twice, because it's almost the same kind of fight book.
Mm-hmm.
I read Spider-Man, I was like, I couldn't finish it quick enough. You know, just,
can I suggest something?
Sure.
Don't buy the next one.
Yeah, you know, drop it.
It's really close to it. I gotta admit.
No, drop it.
Was the last one good?
Before this, it's been good. I mean, before this crossover, it's been decent.
Okay, how many issues of this crossover?
We're halfway through, so it's issue. So far, we're on part 6 of 12.
And there's nothing in the world that's going to get you not to buy that, is there?
Well, no, I'm not buying the crossover. I'm just buying the books, the Spider-Man books that are participating in
this
crossover.
Is what I'm talking
not buying
about,
every
though.
Book. What?
There's nothing in the world to get you to stop buying these Spider-Man books for the duration of this horrible thing.
Possibly.
Come back in
really
five episodes or issues and see if Buster's got his hand back. I mean, if Spider-Man has his eye back.
Well, anyway, aside from that, I read the typical X-Men and Ultimate X-Men books, which were good, but not, you know, amazing.
Did you hate Ultimate X-Men?
No, it was all right. It was, you know, I'm kind of looking forward to it because Kirkman's taking over.
Yeah, he is
X-Men.
Taking it over.
Really?
You know that, Josh? Next issue.
Yeah. So,
is it
next issue?
Who's writing it now?
So right now it's Vaughn.
Yeah.
And while you think Vaughn would be fantastic, it's been all right.
I think it's
just
been
hasn't.
Good. You just don't like.
I don't like Amonin's art. Yeah, you know, Stuart Amonin.
He changed his style, and I used to really love him, but I don't really like the new style too much.
Yeah, now it's all like anime and. Yeah,
you should probably check it out. Kirkman is on there.
Yeah, Kirkman next issue.
I like Vaughn more than I like Kirkman. I didn't buy it when he was writing it.
Well.
And more importantly, on the flip side of Ultimate X-Men is
Vision Part 2. I didn't even open
Ultimate
it.
Vision Number 2.
I read Ultimate Vision Part 1, and I wanted my 3 seconds back.
Oh, wait till you read Part 2. It's just
I didn't even look at it. I refuse.
Basically, if I'm not mistaken, the entire plot for the first one was they turned a machine on.
Yes.
Yeah. Pretty
they
much.
Flicked the switch.
Like, what's that? What do we do? Click. I'm Vision. End.
And
we're out.
Well, this one wasn't much better. So.
Well, so what was your favorite one, though? You never said what your favorite book was.
Honestly, I'd have to agree with Josh and say it was Daredevil.
Okay.
Yeah.
I read a bunch of stuff. A lot of it was crap. But my favorite book was Seven Soldiers Frankenstein.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do tell.
It was really just, it was wacky. And I had a lot of fun reading it. So the Seven Soldiers series has been really, I can't tell what's going on. I'm sticking with it. Because it supposedly all makes sense when you read it together, only I've got a bad memory for these things. And by the time, you know, I don't remember what happened a couple months ago in these books. And I can't see how they're being cohesive, but I do enjoy some of the individual titles. And this, because they're written in a way, you can't enjoy them that way. Frankenstein is just crazy. And it's the kind of book where you gotta kind of draw your own conclusions. He sort of drops you in the middle of it, and you gotta figure the story out, which I kind of enjoy that. Frankenstein, turns out, in 1870, was a superhero. Frankenstein's a monster, which is called... He's called Frankenstein in this. And he's some kind of superhero. He's got a sword and a gun, and he's killing evil people. And then it flashes forward to the present, where there's this kid in high school who suddenly develops the ability to read people's thoughts. In a comic book way, he sees them above their heads in word balloons. And he's infected by this monster. He's going to kill everybody, turn them into cocoons. It somehow calls forth Frankenstein from the, you know, from the past, wherever he was buried in the ground, and he comes in and hacks people up with his sword. It was just goofy, wacky, big monster with a sword and a gun.
Who did it? Was it who's
Morrison?
You know what I'm going. That sounds like Grant Morrison.
Grant Morrison wrote it. Doug Monkey drew it, and he draws big things well. And
wait, Doug Monkey?
Yeah.
Is it really pronounced Monkey?
Yes.
I believe. Really?
Yes.
No, I thought it was Mankey. Or
I think it's
Monkey. You know, I think he wanted to differentiate himself from years of torture.
Yeah. But it was
okay,
good.
We're gonna take
just,
role
just...
is Doug Mankier. It's Monkey Ma'am, actually. I like all the children to make fun of me.
Yes, exactly. Although that'd be a cool name to have. But anyway, I thought it was really enjoyable. He's just a big old monster. And now Frankenstein lives. This is the last line.
In the DC universe, Frankenstein lives.
Thank God.
With a big sword and a gun and a shield.
What sort of sword? Okay,
it's a two-handed broadsword. I think it's got plus.
See my chant on that.
Yeah.
Is it blue?
It's got a fiery glow.
Oh, we're losers.
But it was good. It was really. I had a fun time reading it, which is something you don't often have these days reading comics. I was like, that was a fun little romp. So we'll see how the rest of it goes. Some of it's just really bad.
I know I picked this as my pick of the week, and so I'm trying to remember if this is true. Did Paladin show up in Daredevil?
Paladin.
Oh yeah, the guy who at the end.
I remember him.
Yes,
Paladin.
Yeah, that's
I'm just getting it mixed up with Ultimate Spider-Man, but I remember him from the Super Spidey saga.
Really?
Todd McFarlane. He was on one of the covers.
And what do you remember of him?
I don't really remember, although he was friends with Spider-Man back then, and now he's a killer for hire.
And he shot Daredevil.
But I was like, I know this random character. It's like many people in the Marvel Universe who can kill anything from a really long ways away.
Well, he had a really big scope on the gun. Did you see that?
Yeah, but he had probably one of those, you can only use mutant powers to use the scope or something like that.
Right.
You know what the best thing of the week really was, though? It was Why the Last Man, Volume 9, Volume 6. Trade paperback.
Which story was that?
Girl on Girl.
Oh.
The one where he's on the boat with the people.
That continues, by the way.
Issues 32 to 36.
I think I just read 39 last night.
That was really good. Also, the great thing about this book is I turned my non-comic reading siblings on to Y a few months ago when there was nothing to do. I said, why don't you read this book? It's not superheroes, it's like sci-fi. And so I guess they were bored enough to read them, and they both ended up reading all 5 volumes. And then when I got home from the comic store, I said, hey, look what's out. And they went, oh, they were excited. It was kind of fun because they were excited about a comic.
And much fun was had.
No, it's really unusual that they were excited about a comic coming out. And also, my brother took it from me and read it before I did. So,
wow.
I mean, that was kind of fun.
My wife reads that every issue.
Yeah. So...
And she reads Fringed in Paradise, those 2 books, every time they come out. She's like, ooh, a new one.
It was a Thanksgiving miracle.
Indeed.
All right, well, so it looks like it was a pretty good week.
It was. You'll forgive our lethargy. I know that Connor has at least 3 kinds of meat in him.
I have. If you punched me in the stomach, I would eject turkey and duck and chicken.
What a lovely thought.
Yeah, we might do that later for fun.
I have 2 kinds of pie.
Chocolate pie I had, too.
I had chocolate pie. I had pumpkin pie.
I had some last night when I got home from visiting my dad, and that was a mistake.
I had a bit of a brownie at one point.
Nice.
And then last night I was like, let's order a pizza. Because if you're going to be slothful, be slothful.
If you're going to gain the weight, you might as well do it now.
Oh, this is the time.
And then lose it.
This is from now till the end of December.
It's when it's okay to get fatter.
What kinds of pie did you have, Ron?
I only had 1 kind of pie, but I had 3 pounds of risotto. So,
3 pounds?
I think.
In one setting?
Just about 3
Were
pounds.
They rolled
you
from the table to some sort of bed?
It was so good, though.
Was there not a turkey?
No, there was a turkey, but we do a risotto course before the turkey. Turkey's kind of, whatever. So our little Italian spin on things.
We had a 4 course meal.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. If you guys want to read about Josh's pick of the week on ifanboy.com, head over there and click on the pick of the week on the right side. And if you have any comments or want to tell us what you ate for Thanksgiving, be sure to comment on the site and let us know how you enjoyed your Thanksgiving holiday and what comics you read.
I don't really want to hear about your Thanksgiving.
Why not?
I mean, listen, I'm willing to listen to pie testimonials.
Pie testimony we love.
We can take your pie testimonial.
Good night, everybody.
Oh, good news for anybody who's been worried. The TIE Fighter is in excellent condition.
You found all the pieces?
I did. It took me about 3 or 4 days to find the last one.
Did you go there with like a CSI kit? Like a... What was it? The heart was just right there. I might be overthinking.
Oh, here it is.
every time I go to New York, like, it's like a food marathon. Well, I got to have a hot dog here, and I've got to get Chinese food at Connor's.
It's the New York experience.